You're listening to KTTH. I'm Victoria Taft, and oh my goodness, we cannot have this. There's a doctor who thinks it's nobody's business, or illegal at the very least, that people, employers, companies, places that you might want to go to insist on you having zip papers. And so she's giving people basically exemptions, excuses, a note from the doctor. And she's charging for her time to do that. And King 5 News is very upset about it. In fact, King 5 News sent, I have to collect myself because it's so upsetting. No, it's not. This doctor, I realize that we all have to play by the rules and et cetera. A lot of these mandates are not by the rules, let us just say, for just laying it out there initially. Well, Dr. COVID is what we're calling her. That's what Brady calls her. Dr. COVID. And she's providing these notes for her patients. And the folks at King 5 News were very upset that somebody, these two older people who complained initially, and then they sent in undercover reporters to basically shop the doctor. And they came out with exemptions, or, you know, the note from the doctor. And they paid for the time of the doctor to get the note. They did a study of them, I mean, in terms of, you know, height, weight, comorbidities, and all that stuff. And then she wrote them a note. You can take this to wherever it is that you need to take it. And I think that you shouldn't be required to get a COVID shot. That was basically what she was doing. And you know what they were most upset about? The folks over at King 5 News were most upset about that she removed her mask to talk to the patients. That's it. And this is in the lead of the story. An Ellensburg doctor removed her mask as she entered a small medical room in October and began signing a COVID-19 vaccine exemption form. Now, this is an interesting story all the way around, actually. And you know why? Because all of a sudden, the same kinds of people, the ilk who condemn James O'Keefe for his undercover work and secret video and all sorts of, you know, Mike Wallace School of Journalism, they've been on his butt for years trying to get him on something, talking about how he's a muckraker. Of course, he calls himself a muckraker now. He's just embracing it and talking about things that you and I would never see unless he had his cameras there. You wouldn't have seen the Pfizer executive talk about, you know, the ineffectiveness of the vaccine. You wouldn't have seen some of the other people that he's highlighted through the years talking about stuff that they would never tell you out loud unless it were undercover video. But no, it's okay now because King 5 News sent in their reporters to get notes, excuse notes, so they didn't have to have the shot. And they came out with notes. They actually exchanged money and gave the doctor money to get the note. They actually engaged in that commerce. Can you actually do that?
I don't believe so.
I don't think that even rises to any journalistic ethics. You know, one time, this is just sort of an example of what you can't do. James O'Keefe again. So years ago, Eric Holder is the attorney general standing in line for one of the worst and most politicized attorney generals. It's a jump ball, really. Merrick Garland, Eric Holder, how bad are they? Scales of justice, even. Equally bad. So James O'Keefe goes to what he knows to be Eric Holder's polling place on election day. And he's making a point that you can practically go anywhere at any polling place. What, you remember when we had polling places? How quaint. And without showing ID, you can vote for somebody. And then they'll be counted as having voted. So what does he do? He goes in there and asks for Eric Holder's ballot. And she gives it to him. Well, actually, here's where he stopped. She's ready to hand it to him. He offers his ID to her. James O'Keefe offers his ID to her. He of Project Veritas. And she says, oh, we don't take ID. Which, of course, he's got all on tape because that no, ain't nobody taking any ID to vote. He never takes the ballot. Do you know why? Because if he were to have taken the ballot, he would have engaged in a felony of voter impersonation, voter fraud, or whatever, you know, iteration of the law that they would pass along in Washington, D.C. that would come under. He didn't do it because you know why? Because that would be wrong. He didn't do it. He says, oh, no, I'm going to go out and get my ID. What does he do? He leaves. Because he can't take the ballot. He just wanted to prove the point. He had everything on video. These people actually, at King 5 News, they actually engaged in and received goods and services from this doctor. And they're blaming her for somehow doing something that's unethical or wrong. Let's listen a little bit to the story. You have to hear it.
It's not her unconventional views or blatant violation of the state mask mandate that sparked our investigation into Dr. Anna Elprin. Weeks before we sat down for this interview, we sent in undercover journalists to investigate a tip that Dr. Elprin was allegedly handing out COVID vaccine exemptions for a price.
Yeah, like that's a, yeah, you know, doctors get paid for their time. Now, I got some meds and stuff like that from the doc in the box. I paid for that time. Is that wrong or something? Did you get something of value in exchange? Did we engage in commerce of some sort? Did I check out your body to make sure that you had no crazy comorbidities so that, you know, I could detect and engage in conversation with you about whether or not you could get an exemption from the COVID shot or a mandate of whatever kind? They got something. They got something of value from that doctor. And now they're trying to get after her because she's flouting Jay Inslee's diktats. So here's the reporter, shocked and amazed. I'm shocked and appalled.
Doing the typical things you would expect at a doctor's office, weighing me, taking my height, blood pressure, and then...
Oh my God, Becky.
After she's done with those standard procedures, she says, so are we just doing the COVID exemption today, or are you here to establish care?
What did you think of that?
Well, I was surprised. I mean, it was very unprompted.
After a brief meeting with the doctor and paying a $150 fee, Taylor walked out with these letters that medically exempt her from wearing a mask or receiving a COVID vaccine signed by Dr. Elprin.
Did the doctor ever ask you if you had a medical condition that would exempt you from a vaccine?
Nope. There was zero discussion about why I wanted this medical exemption. And, you know, she asked me, are you healthy otherwise? And I explained, yeah.
Okay. So she engaged in conversation with you. She did an assessment of your health. She heard what you wanted, which was the exemption. She gave you said exemption. You paid her for said exemption. And what's the problem? See, that's me. I'm so happy that there are some doctors willing to take a stand and say, this is a non-starter. This is just nuts. The masks and all that stuff. You've heard all about it. People have issues. This doctor has issues. Now, when we come back, oh, it gets better. Because the story goes on, and King 5 News, I think, is in trouble. We'll talk about it when we come back. Victoria Taft in on KTTH this morning. Let's check traffic. Now, my favorite part of the story is the fact that the King 5 News reporters were just shocked. Gobsmacked. They couldn't believe that she wasn't wearing a mask. You know, I just went to Nebraska. No masks. Ain't nobody wearing any masks. Just because you've got a crazy governor in the state of Washington who insists. And here's Jay Inslee doing his latest COVID update.
Well, I just wanted to know that I'd want you very much to wear a mask. And I want you very much to do what I tell you to do, and we're never going to open up again because it's way too much fun with these emergency powers and not having the state legislature getting in the way.
That's Jay Inslee. I know. It's just me having some fun. Here we go. We're so aghast. She just wasn't wearing a mask. So they go in. They finally confront her. And here's what she does. She says, as cool as a cucumber.
What would the valid reason be for a vaccine exemption?
I think it's very individual as far as carefully reviewing the past medical history for the patient and discussing with them that based on what their health status currently is.
This is a vaccine exemption form that you signed for Taylor.
I have here in my hand an exemption form I'm holding for you. Did you sign this? Did you?
And you never asked her if she had a medical condition.
I would have no way of knowing any of this based off just a vaccine exemption form. I would have to go back to their chart. I don't have that information stored to memory.
I don't know. What does that remind me of? I don't know. What, Victoria, does that remind me of? Well, she wasn't wearing a mask. She signed an exemption for someone who clearly came in for an exemption.
Can you believe some people still don't drive hybrids?
I know. It's like Earth to America. Hello. This is simple stuff here. Call.
Well, from now on, I'm only going to associate with other hybrid car drivers. Everyone else is just ignorant.
Good for you.
Thanks.
At least we're smart enough to know better.
Thanks.
We're a little more progressive and ahead of the curve here in San Francisco.
That's not smog. That's smug. You know what that is? It's smug. Smug. A bit more progressive here in San Francisco.
That isn't smug. It's smug.
Smug.
Hybrid cars make better for emission levels, but people who drive hybrid cars are the leading cause of smug.
That's what it reminded me of. The patient undercover King 5 investigative reporter who visited the Halperin's office, who's the doctor, Dr. COVID, we're calling her, does not have a medical condition that precludes her from getting the vaccine. Oh, now we're doing reverse technology here, are we? We're doing reverse. Well, you didn't say you couldn't have one. For $150 cash fee, which they paid her, she signed her name in three separate exemption forms that excused the undercover reporter from following state and local COVID mask and vaccine mandates because of doctor's orders. The three-month King 5 investigation found that she repeatedly signed those over and over and over again because people paid her. You know, this isn't even as bad as back in the day before they approved everybody getting high on marijuana, whether you want to get high or not, because, you know, contact high. Remember, there used to be a long I-5 in Oregon and Washington. There were always a couple of doctors who were totally dope friendly. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not put it proper parlance? Weed friendly. And is that what are we calling it now? Is it still weed?
No, well, kind of what we do now, it's 420 friendly.
Oh, well, that's old, isn't it? It's a coming back again.
It's back.
Oh,
it's back.
Yes, he's back. 420. Okay, 420 friendly doctors who would just write exemptions. Or, you know, like the doctor's excuse, well, they have a sore foot. And so, therefore, they should get medical marijuana. Remember medical marijuana? Remember people like me would always say, oh, come on, you guys, medical marijuana? This is the biggest scam ever. And then they'd have the doctors doing medical marijuana cards for anybody who walked in. And it would be like, you want your medical marijuana card? Oh, here's your excuse. Here it is. I'm putting in the paperwork for you. There it is. Do you know how many of those doctors got busted? Well, I don't actually know how many of those doctors. I'm pretty sure none of them got busted, though. Were there Dr. Dope? We'll call him Dr. Dope.
Dr. Dope? I mean, I haven't heard of any doctors, like at least a substantial amount of them, but that's not the only style of doctor that was giving out, I wouldn't say prescriptions, because there was a lot of doctors that would do the same thing with Adderall for people that had ADD or ADHD.
Oh.
They would go in and all you'd have to say is, I can't focus.
Right.
I can't pay attention in class. Just, you have the list of things to say, and then they would diagnose it and be like, all right, go get your Adderall.
Oh.
Have fun focusing in class, champ.
420 friendly doctors, and I don't even know what you call Adderall friendly doctors, but you know, there has been a bit of a problem with over prescribing some of these medications, and of course the not least of which is saying that all rambunctious boys deserve to be on some sort of sedative or of some sort. So here we have this doctor doing better than most others. For example, let's think through this. You want dope. You want weed. I'm dating myself. You want weed. You just want to smoke weed. We've got this little veil, this little fig leaf of a medical marijuana law. And we'll just go get a doctor's thing, and a doctor dope's going to give it to you. The 420 friendly doctor dope is going to give you the card. Okay. Now you have a doctor who says, you don't have to wear a mask. You shouldn't have to share anything at all about your medical condition with anyone who's not. It's against HIPAA. It's against OSHA. It's against all sorts of other things that we thought were there to protect you. Right? And so, I mean, it's a matter of opinion. Just because you think she should be wearing a mask when she gives you an exemption doesn't make her a bad guy. What you just described is an exemption mill, said Dr. Gabriel Bossiet, one of three national medical ethics experts consulted for this story and an associate professor at Indiana University School of Medicine. Hey, isn't that the school of medicine that dumped out the epidemiologist who said, who started calling out some of the COVID responses by the federal government? He was part of a commission, if I'm not mistaken. Is that that might be the same school. Or maybe that was Wisconsin. It's in the Midwest. What can I tell you? You hand over the money and I ask no questions and give you a piece of paper that satisfies the state that you have an exemption. Now, I understand exemptions. We've been told. I talked to Harmeet Dhillon, I don't know, a few weeks ago for a story for PJ Media. And what she didn't like was she doesn't like people who don't have legitimate reasons for getting exemptions. And she's an attorney and she's, she's someone who has to uphold the law. And so, therefore, what she says actually does carry some weight, notwithstanding what you saw in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial of lying prosecutors, lying attorneys. Back over to this one. So Harmeet says, yeah, we're kind of sick and tired of people just making stuff up. They ought not do that. It's not very nice. And I'm okay, got it. It's not very nice. Is it illegal? It is giving somebody, no. I don't think so. But I'll tell you what might be, and it certainly is unethical, King 5 News reporters going to this doctor saying that they want an exemption. She gives them a health screen, gives them an exemption, and they pay her money. I'm sorry. Can you do that? I just went over the James O'Keefe stuff with you, didn't I? Remember when he went in the senator's office? Mary, what's her name? Landrieu. Oh, Lord, what a mess of a woman. This is in 2010 or something around there. And what does she do? She says, well, my phones are just not on the blink. My phones are on the blink. I can't take anyone's complaint calls about Obamacare. And so what does James O'Keefe do? He goes in there to see if her phones are on the blink or they're, somehow disabled. No, she's just lying. But what happens? He gets busted for being in a senator's office under false pretenses. I mean, so undercover work is, it depends on who's doing it as to whether or not it's good, right? Chad, let's check traffic. We got so much more to come. Friday. It's Victoria. You're listening to KTTH. Let's check traffic. We have all the answers. Yes, we do. I know this because Jen Psaki, the White House spokeswoman, has all the answers as to why people are going to Gucci and Louis Vuitton and ransacking and looting. Oh, wait, Brady, we're not supposed to call it looting, are we?
No, I don't think we're supposed to.
We're not supposed to call it that because that connotes, I guess it's racist. We never knew that. It's never heretofore been assumed to be racist as a term of art, but hey. What's interesting is in San Francisco last week, there was a report from one of the TV stations, and they decided from the guy who does all the equity reports for the station. Must be a very interesting job. And he went to a professor, naturally, because nobody in real life actually says this stuff. And he goes to the professor and he says, well, you know, this term of art, this looting that's going on, is it really looting? And of course, the professor said, well, no, because that's racist. And of course, it doesn't make any sense, but it's racist. And looting is not brought into the picture, he said, until such time that there's an emergency that's declared, some sort of a natural disaster and or an emergency. To which I would respond, isn't the pandemic an emergency? Haven't we been operating under, oh my goodness, it's an emergency stuff for like almost 2 years? Haven't we been doing? Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Well, anyway, we have found out that indeed it is. I mean, I don't want to break it to you or anything, but looting is caused by the pandemic.
The president still thinks that crime is up because of the pandemic.
I think many people have conveyed that, and also one of the reasons that crime, one of the root reasons crime, root causes of crime in communities is guns and gun violence, and we've seen that statistically around the country.
But to your point, so when a huge group of criminals organizes themselves and they want to go loot a store, a CVS, a Nordstrom, a Home Depot, until the shelves are clean, you think that's because of the pandemic?
I think a root cause in a lot of communities is the pandemic. Yes.
Now, gun and gun violence. Let's go back to that one. Gun and gun violence causes looting? No. No, 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 no. No. I mean, yeah, some of those people are armed and they're criminals. And they go to Louis Vuitton because that's what they're doing. They go in there, they go, I have a big scary gun and I'd like to take all of those watches. Thank you. You know, it's gotten to the point where, oh, this cracked me up. So in San Francisco, where, you know, you've got all the fancy stores. Well, nearby, they're all boarded up now. But one of the stores that was boarded up was the Real Real, which is a store, I found out from my housewife's connections, is a place that you can resell stuff that you have, your designer items, and they will sell those. They'll, you know, it's a swap meet for rich people. Okay. It's a huge thing. They've got like glass and metal and it looks high tech and it's fancy, but not so much anymore at the Real Real in San Francisco, because the Real Real in San Francisco currently has lumber over its walls or its windows because they're afraid of Louis Vuitton looters, the organized mob that come. Don't call them looters because that's racist and it doesn't matter, but they're coming for it. They're coming to take all your stuff. And Jen Psaki says it's because of the pandemic that people are breaking in, entering, and stealing with guns sometimes. But it's not the gun's fault. I think we established that yesterday when we were amazed to find out at that point in time, after assuming that somehow Alec Baldwin had pulled the trigger of the gun. We found out, no, he never pulled the trigger, he said. So the gun just shot itself and pointed itself at his cinematographer, taking her life and hurting and wounding the director of the film without anyone actually ever having pulled the trigger. And now we have gun violence, and gun violence is actually to blame in part, because pandemic's to blame for the rest of the part, of all the looting that we can't call looting because looting is racist, and you can't say it's looting unless it's under an emergency. But yet here we are under COVID emergency, and we're changing all of our laws, the Constitution. We're depriving people of their God-given ability to go to a doggone polling place. Instead, we have to do everything by vote by mail, or changing everything around for the emergency. but we can't call it looting because it's not the right kind of emergency. You got that? Just thought I'd pass it along, you racist. Sorry. I know there are real racists out there, okay? I just don't know any. But, you know, this is getting absurd. This is getting absurd. Speaking of racist, the Black Lives Matter organization has called for a boycott of white stores. No, that's true. For Christmas. Just in time for Christmas. That's right. We have decided that white stores are the guys to boycott. Sure, we're just coming out of a supply chain disaster where we have demand crashing with lack of supply, which crashes with the fact that we've got closings and shutdowns and pandemic stuff, and we've got ships off the coast, and we got all this stuff. And now, I know, let's just boycott white people business and just shop at black people stores. Now, I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but that's racist, isn't it, Jason Rantz?
Now to BlackLivesMatter.com.
That's not Jason, but he's coming up.
Xmas or Christmas. They say they don't want anyone spending money with white companies from November 26th to January 1st. They say Black Xmas challenges us to shake off the chains of consumerism and step fully into our own collective power to build new traditions and run an offense as well as a defense. Let's harness our economic power to disrupt white supremacist capitalism and build black community. Black Xmas is about being self-determined and dismantling existing structures by building new and more viable, beneficial ones.
Now, before she gets to Jason, Shannon Bream, I'm sure it was just killing her to have to say Xmas. Now, somebody explained it to me one time, and they said, no, the X stands for the cross. Is it the ancient sign of the cross in Roman times, whatever. Okay, I'll go with that. Fine. I won't say it, but I can see how she said that. And of course, these folks in Black Lives Matter are avowed Marxists, which make them disbelieving people. They don't believe in anything, but apparently I have no idea what they believe in. They don't believe in God. So here's Shannon Bream having to say Xmas, and she asks Jason Rantz, whom you might have heard of, is this racist?
Jason.
Yeah, it's almost like there are no black employees at these white-owned businesses.
Stop making sense, Jason.
Being told by BLM that we're supposed to judge a business by the skin color of the person who owns or runs it.
Yeah, and? I mean, they're perfectly fine with that, right? And it's racist.
That is racist.
Yes!
If anyone came out and said we shouldn't be going to black-owned businesses, it would rightly be called out as racist. And yet here, for the most part, no one wants to say anything because I guess they might be scared that they're going to get boycotted. Well, you're probably going to get boycotted anyway. So why don't you start speaking up and say to this divisive rhetoric, yeah, enough is enough. Go ahead and buy at the company that treats its employees well, offers a good product, a good service at a good price,
yep,
and actually helps out the community. Stop this nonsense of judging people on the basis of skin color. It's wrong. And I can't believe we have to say that in 2021.
It's true. I can't believe we have to say this. It is so fun. It's so fundamental to our being that it's just unfair. You don't do that. It's not very nice. It's just not very nice. And what we have to tell people over and over and over and over again, that racism isn't nice. Judging someone by the color of their skin is wrong. Judge them by everyone now. That's right. The content of their character or what have you. Whatever other relational thing you want to put in there. How you would somehow measure their goodness. That's what you do. You don't do it on the basis of skin color. And I can't believe they're teaching that crap in the schools. Now, when we come back, we'll find out what schools are teaching that crap. And we'll do that when we come back. Got to check traffic. It's Victoria. You're listening to KTTH. Friday. Good morning. You're listening to KTTH. I'm Victoria Taft. Here's our text line, 800-465-8770, 465-8770. That's where you just, hey, give us a little attagirl, in my case, If it's bad news, don't do that, because the boss gets a look at them. And, yeah, who needs that? And the other thing is that we always like to find out what's going on in your world. And if you have a tip, a news tip, a talk show topic tip, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you about that. And you can do that on the text line at 800-465-8770. Okay, I think I'm saying it right this time. So, yeah, we were just talking about making sure that we live in a non-racist and neutral and equitable world. And they're doing that at the schools. In fact, teachers are taking courses in Seattle's public schools, in Washington State, actually, throughout the state. I read here in the Post-Millennial, in a critical race theory, because everyone's clamoring for critical race theory, because we should judge everyone by the color of their skin and who's the oppressor and who's the oppressed, even though a five-year-old really doesn't know that. So this is what they report. They report that, I'm reading here, activist teachers' unions across the country continue to be exposed for teaching critical race theory and pulling back their radical curricula. The Washington Education Association. Wow. Take two. Wow. Hold on. The Washington Education Association is doubling down on this controversial content. Randy Paddock, the equity and diversity coordinator of the WEA, your friendly teachers union, will be teaching a continuing education course to members of the union he has given before entitled Institutional Racism and White Privilege. Yeah. Is Randy Paddock white? Do we know? I always find it really interesting. It's sort of like the school administrators, school board members who around here who deigned to tell black people that they're white. Opinions mattered more than the black people's opinions. It was just a. Was that county? I know Jason had the story. And so it doesn't matter. You know, it's these woke white people that are just causing all the problems. My guess is, I'm going to guess that guy's white. And if he's not, then he should know better than that. It's just me. So they're getting continuing education in how to racially profile other people in the classroom. Remember when racial profiling was wrong? Remember that? Remember? It was just what, 2014? Is this before pre-BLM, before Big Mike and Ferguson started off the whole Black Lives Matter thing, or the Trayvon Martin fiasco when he jumped and beat up George Zimmerman and left him no choice but to shoot him with his gun? As he, of course, was back on his ground, prone, or is that supine? No, he was supine. Trayvon Martin on top of him. And George Zimmerman's going, I'm going to die here. The guy's just pounding his head against the cement. Remember that one? Yeah, it's probably nothing of the story that was told to you by the media, but that's actually the real story of the George Zimmerman situation. Huh, yeah, well. And I think prior to that, wasn't racial profiling bad? Remember, because racial profiling, remember George Zimmerman, he's Hispanic, and but with the name Zimmerman, they just assumed he was white. And so, they had to make up a new classification for him. And so they called him a white Hispanic. The New York Times coined the phrase that put into popular usage. It may have been a term of art somewhere in Arcanaville, but it's nowhere in any of the newspapers. But the New York Times brought it up and said, hey, we're going to call him a white Hispanic. That's what they did. And so I thought racial profiling was bad at some point in time in our recent history. But now it's back because critical race theory says so, because you should be judged on the basis of the color of your skin and not on the content of your character or fill in the blank, whatever way you like to determine whether or not something is right or wrong. Generally, we call that truth, but apparently that's just a slippery slope these days. So speaking of the situations in the schools, in Chicago, they have just announced that when the kids finally get back to school, because apparently they're requiring all schools to adopt new signage to make restrooms more inclusive, because we have solved all of the other major problems with the Chicago schools. Apparently, Math is going great. Kids are reading it at grade level. I mean, it's all good. I mean, kids are not getting picked off by gang members every Saturday night. Things are great in Chicago. Jussie Smollett says, or Smollett has not run another race hoax. So it's all great. It's all great in Chicago. Listen to the way they're doing their bathrooms.
Guidelines, all CPS students and staff will have fair and equitable access to bathroom facilities that align with their gender identity. We will be providing all schools with updated signage that makes our bathrooms more inclusive. It will identify the fixtures available in each restroom and make it clear that all restrooms are open for use by anyone who feels comfortable. Staff will continue to have staff-only restrooms available to them.
Oh.
This is an incredibly important step to increase gender equity for all, which is why we will be requiring all schools to post this signage by December 1st of this school year. Our district's Office of Student Protections and Title IX is also working on a long-term plan to create more permanent signage for our bathrooms.
Oh, because that's the most important thing. I got some signage for you. I saw this on Twitter. Because we've solved all the problems. The teachers have their own staff restroom that apparently is not delineated who can use it. I guess all staff can use it. So apparently they're not qualified to have those signs. But on the kids, they have all the signs on the same bathrooms, and so they're all lopping them into the same bathrooms. So what could possibly go wrong? I believe that though we may have answered that question with the rape of that child in Virginia that the school board ignored until a very angry father came to call him out on it, we've had no problems, I'm sure. Oh, wait, well, we have, actually. And so putting all people who are very, very uncertain of their own sexuality or what have you in one bathroom, boys with girls, there's no problem there, right? So I just mentioned the fact that they must have solved all the other problems in the Chicago schools. They must have done that. Else, why would they be able to waste time and money, resources, etc., to put together a fine presentation, which, by the way, had music under it, which was very exciting, and do all that? And then I said, you know, the test scores must be way up, math, everything's at grade level, it's going to be all good. Test scores, reading proficiency in Chicago public schools, 27%. Math proficiency, 24%. So actually, they're probably doing better than their own people thought they were doing over there at the school office. But they got the right signs on the bathroom. So that's what really counts. All right. It's been fun spending the last couple of days with you. I'll be back in a few days, filling in every now and again. Been a pleasure. And if you want to hear that Adam Baldwin interview, I think we're going to post it up over at our website. So that's all good. You're listening to KTTH. Victoria Taft with you. Let's check traffic.